Tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've certainly been blessed by the music today. And Mrs. Ross has a beautiful rendition of that song that you played for us during the tour. I appreciate it very much. We're blessed to have gifted people at our church. We're glad to have you here today. I want to welcome you, and of course, being Father's Day, happy Father's Day to you. I wish I could sit down and each one of you sit with you and talk to you about your dad, what he did, and the things that made you laugh. And I wouldn't have to talk about the things that made you cry, because he probably administered the Board of Education to your seat of knowledge. But anyway, thank God for good daddies. Thank God that daddies love us and care for us and he gives us up. I was reading the scriptures it's been about a month I've been reading in Samuel. I've been going through the life of Samuel, going through the life of King Saul, going through the life of David. And I've been just going over and over. Well, the other day, about a week ago, I found this, and I was very interested about this. And then, of course, being Father's Day, I thought, boy, this is a great passage of Scripture. A guy named Barzillai was a wonderful man. And I don't know if it's, he said, today I'm 80 years old. I don't know if that was his birthday or not. Not sure. Well, I'll just say happy birthday to Barzillai. But anyway, he was a faithful father. He was also a faithful man that just did wonderful things, and I want to talk to you about him today. But before I do, I was reading over some things about Father's Day. I found an old radio script of Paul Harvey. I like Paul Harvey, page 2, page 3, amen. And he said, what fathers are made out of? He said, a father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without anesthetic. A father is a thing that growls when he feels good and laughs very loud when he's scared half to death. A father never feels entirely worthy of the worship of his child's eyes. He never quits. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks. Never quite the man his son believes him to be. And this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try and to smooth the rough places of the road for those of his own who will follow him. A father is a thing that gets very angry when the first school grades aren't as good as he thinks they should be. He scolds his son, though he knows it's the teacher's fault. Fathers are what give daughters away to another men who aren't nearly good enough, so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody. Fathers make bets and insurance companies about who'll live the longest, though they know the odds. They keep right on betting, and one day they lose. I don't know where fathers go when they die, but I have an idea that after a good rest, wherever it is, they won't be happy unless they can do the work. He won't just sit on a cloud and wait for the girls that he loved and the children he bore. He'll be busy there, repairing the stairs, oiling the gate, and improving the streets and smoothing the way. Paul Harvey. I was also reading in the U.S. News and World Report, they said these are the some select sayings of fathers that said to their children, the man on the top of the mountain didn't fall there. Never underestimate the power of human stupidity. An excuse is a poor patch for a garment of failure. That'll make you think. Never try to catch two frogs with one hand. Always throw away the box when you take the last piece of candy. I also thought, throw away the milk carton also, there's no milk in it, amen. Honesty is like a trail. Once you get off it, you realize that you're lost. Remember who you are and where you came from. Remember you are in life, first make friends with the cook. Wherever you are in life, first make friends with the cook. Measure twice, cut once. The second time you are kicked in the head by a mule, it's not learning. It's not a learning experience. You need to do what you have to do before you can do what you want to do. That's a good one. Well, you know what happens when you wrestle with pigs. You get all dirty, and they love it. You got to think about that. If you don't need it, don't buy it. Never be so broke that you cannot pay attention. Successful people make a habit of doing things that failures don't like to do. Don't be foolish just because you know how to do it. Marry your best friend. Peer pressure is a crack in your armor of your own conviction. Knowing what's right from the wrong is education. Doing what's right is execution. The latter is the hardest part. The difference always is attitude. The one who quits last wins. Do you know what happens when I found out all the answers? They changed the questions. Isn't that life? The way life is. If everybody else is doing it, it's probably wrong. Those are some sayings from the boy, from Dad. I want you to look at the father's life. David was now heading home to his palace in Jerusalem that was taken over by his unfaithful and brutal son Absalom. The brokenhearted king was finally coming home after running from his son and the army that Absalom had taken. On his journey home, he was met at the Jordan River by an old, trusted, dear friend, Barzillai. Barzillai was a faithful servant of the king for many years. She was now 80 years old. It's kind of interesting. He had provided, you don't hear about it but until the end of the scripture here, but he had provided for the needs of the king. He encouraged the king in the time and time again when the king was on the run. He would bring food to him, substance to him. Absalom, his son now, that had stole the kingdom, had died. And King David is on his way home, returning back to his palace in Jerusalem. We read in 2 Samuel 19:32. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king's substance while he lay at Miniam, for he was a very great man. I want you to just for a moment put on your thinking cap and think of King David. King David never forgot those who helped him. King David was a great man that appreciated everything that was done to him. He was a very gracious king to his subjects. He was a kind-hearted king. He was a passionate king. He was a lover of those that did good. He never forgot kindness that was offered to him. He was an honorable king, a king that showed appreciation to others that helped him on his life's journey. He remembered when Jonathan and Saul and brothers were killed. He remembered his son Mephibosheth. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6, "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan." Who is Jonathan? Jonathan was David's favorite friend. He said, "I will show kindness for Jonathan for thy father's sake, and will store all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And there are many other instances in the Bible that tells how the king showed his appreciation for those who were kind to him. He felt that he owed them. He was not an ingrat. He was one who would not forget the kindness that was showered upon him. Therefore, he wanted to always pay back the kindness. Well, I wish we could get a hold of that today in America. That he had received the Barzillai. He wanted to take him back to his palace and provide for his family and to show appreciation and love on him, and for he was a great man and who showed great kindness to the king. He just wanted to take him back and be with him. He spake to the old Gileadite, but he respectfully declined the king's invitation. He said, "My life's about over. I would just be an old man in your way." I remember years ago, I was, maybe 30 years ago when I was, maybe 20 years ago when I was pastoring church. Our church was running around 300, 400 then. And I called an old friend of mine up. He'd preached in every church, evangelist. He'd preached in every church I pastored. And his name was Jimmy Mercer. Jimmy Mercer was a great preacher. I remember him coming to my first church in Delavan, Minnesota. And he stayed at our house. Every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, you hear him up, making coffee and, hear him praying and reading the scripture. He was a great old guy. And, I remember him, one Thursday, he said to my wife, "Marcia, Sheldon and I are going to make supper for you tonight." And he handed my wife, now remember, this is 1973, handed my wife a $20 bill. That was like a $200 today. He says, "Now I want you to take your mama, and I want you to go to Mankato and go shopping. And we're going to take care of dinner." I hadn't really cooked very much before then. And he showed me how to make his spaghetti. I've never tasted spaghetti like that in my life. And from that time on, I made spaghetti. And old Jim Mercer, he is my buddy. Came to Elkton, South Dakota, came out and preached for me. Had great revival meetings. Well, just a tremendous guy. Well, when we got here, Jimmy was getting kind of old. And I said, "Dr. Mercer, I want you to come out and preach here for me in Montana." He said, "Son, looks like you're doing all right up there. You don't need an old man from me, old from Tallahassee, Florida. You can just do it yourself." I said, "Man," I said, "I want you to come." And he said, "I can't do it, son." He said, "I'm getting old. I can't move. Can't preach like I used to preach." He was in his 80s. I'll be honest with you, I was brokenhearted. Because he was a dear friend of mine. He gave me a lot of information. You know, I'm going to tell you a secret. You shouldn't know this, but I don't bring evangelists to this church for you. I bring them for me. And we spend a lot of time talking about the things of God, and talking about the things of this world, talking about the things that's going on in America. And then you just get the, I get the cream, you get the milk. I've just put it that way. Amen. And I wanted him to come because he had taught me a lot of things in the Bible. I am sure that David must have hurt a little when Barzillai said, "No, I'm not going to go. I want to stay home. I'm about to die. I'm going to just stay here." Old Barzillai desired the king to show. He said, "Well, then, he said, I'll tell you what. Take my son, Chimham. Take my son, my servant, Chimham. Take him." And he desired the king to show his kindness to his son. "Let him go over with my lord, the king. And he have preferment in the court." Those that are getting old must never grudge young persons delight which they themselves enjoyed in the past. I want to teach you some things today. Old men should never confine a young man to their retirements. Let them win. Let them get a name for themselves. Let them enjoy the blessings of their youth. See the newness of life unfold in front of them like the old men have. Real old men understand this. They don't have to prove anything. They're not intimidated by the success of the younger. They have already done it. They've lived the life. Yet, there are some ruthless old men who don't want anyone to success, being success in their life. I've seen fathers like this. I've seen fathers that they're, of course, they have big names and they do a lot of things. And boy, they just, you know, but they want to keep their sons down. I call that idiocy. Man, you want your sons to grow up and do great things for God and do walk with God? They don't, you know, these men, they don't want the young guys to make a name for themselves. They don't want them to beat their high school track record. They don't want them to raise higher than they did. Brother, that's a shameful. That's absolutely disgraceful. It is just plain appalling when a man does not want his sons to do greater things. I want to raise up my children right. Raise them up to teach them to be better. Teach them to be brighter. Teach them to be wiser. Now back to Barzillai. Note, there is a pure supposition. I want you to understand. This is a pure supposition. I'm supposing this, okay? It's not in you won't find it in a text. But I think Barzillai went back home with a smile on his face, a new lift in his step, a twinkle in his eye, and a whistle as he walked. I think he thought of all the new things that his son is going to experience when he goes with David. Why did his son get to do these things? Because his father was faithful. Listen to me, dads. Your children will do a lot of things because of what you are. And how they watch you and how they... Listen, children scrutinize you. One man said that children are God's spies in the home. Amen. They know about you. They see your restlessness. They see your agitation. They see your... Yeah. Chimham was able to do and go with the king because his father was faithful. He was diligent to help the king when the king was great in need. I think he went back home fulfilled. He had encouraged his boy Chimham to go with the king, though I am sure he needed him and would truly miss the presence of his faithful son. Yearned for the fellowship that they were had together. Wished that he could call his son and he would sprint to help him and lace his sandals and take off his clothing and made sure his dad was okay and that he had everything he needed. But Barzillai allowed Chimham to go. Yet he had to be thinking, my deed today will gratify my son. This will help him grow up. This will advance his knowledge. So I'm willing to allow him to do it. I want you to notice David's farewell to Barzillai. He sends him back to his country with a kiss. But here's the blessing. Do you see the scripture says that he went across Jordan with David and then he went back. He went back with a blessing. Verse 39. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned onto his own place. Look at the magnificent gratitude he received for his kindness. King David would love him as his own. He would pray for him. He promised him whatever his request he should at any time make to him, he would be ready and to oblige him. And the king answered Chimham, shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that I will do to thee. He says, hey, whatever you think of, when you come home with me, Whatever you ask of me, I will do it for you. What is the chief excellency of power but this, that I give men a capacity to doing more good? He said, I want you to know that, Barzillai, because of your faithfulness, I'm taking care of your son. Dad, I want you to get this. I believe with all my heart there's always a payback. I believe with all my heart that when people do good things to you, you ought to be very, very religious to do those things back. People give you opportunities. People give you things, you ought to be very careful, because what you're doing, you're teaching your children who are under you. They're watching you. That's how they're going to live. Scripture tells us to make sure that we keep the friends of our fathers. I have a man that farmed my prior little. I just got about 76 acres in Michigan. I have a farmer that farmed it. His daddy farmed it for my dad when my dad retired. And now his son is farming the farm for me. And I always speak very kindly. He just lost his dad last year. I speak very kindly to Dave Lumber. He's a good man. He takes care of my farm like it's his own. My dad taught me some of those things. My dad taught me to, hey, when you owe somebody, you pay it. If you can't pay it right away, you make sure you tell them that you're going to pay it, and this is how you're going to pay it. This is the man who did right when the king was in trouble. Now the king is king, and he takes care of him. He takes Chinham with him and leaves Barzillai his choice. I will do to him what shall seem good to thee. The king says, because you've been so faithful to me, I'm going to take care. Hey, listen, what? Chinham never had anything like this unless his father had lived godly. I just want you men to live godly. Remember your little boys and your little girls that are there watching you. And someday, when opportunity may afford you, that your child will be able to do certain things because of who their dad was. And it should be seen that Barzillai, who had experienced the innocency and safety of retirement, begged a country seat for Chinham near Jerusalem. But not in it. For long after, you read in the scriptures that he was near Bethlehem, David's city, which is called the habitation of Chinham. The king had allotted him probably not one of the cross lands or the crown lands, or forfeit estate, but out of David's own perennial estate, he gave Chinham. Why? Because his daddy was faithful. Listen, fathers. His son Chinham went with the king and accompanied him back to the city, was given land, was given priority because of his father. His son was treated with every consideration that his father would have been treated, yes, more than he could imagine. Listen, dads, Chinham was but a youth. He had no claim upon David the king, but he stood in the merits of his daddy. He was given a title to the king's favor, which I may consistently, entirely, because he was the son of Barzillai. Look, when a father does right, when a father does things right, when a father lives honorable, when a father takes care of business, when a father shows respect to those that are in authority, when a father teaches their children to behave in public, blessings always follow and pour out. The same with the believer in Jesus Christ. Those who have united with Christ by accepting Him as their personal Savior and trust Him by faith, The Scripture declares, listen, Dad, the Scripture declares that we are accepted in the Beloved. We are as near and dear to God as Jesus is. For why? For Christ's sake. We can stand within the palace and in the throne room without reluctance. There are so many people that don't get that. Barzillai, well, that's a tough word, amen. He did right. And because he did right, his son Chinaham received greatness. Jesus Christ is our Heavenly Father. I was talking to little kids today at Sunday school and says, there's only one Father. This is your daughter speaking. There's only one Father. And the little other girl must have gone to a different church and says, no, there's two Fathers. Father in heaven and Father here. And I said, she said, how can you wish everybody happy Father's Day when they're not our fathers? And she would just, oh, she's the cutest thing you ever seen. Smart, brilliant little thing. And I said, listen, I said, same as Christmas. We wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Just like Happy Father's Day, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And boy, she wouldn't take it. I said, but when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He becomes our Father. And Jesus Christ did all these great and wonderful things for all of us. And He died on the cross and He rose on the third day for our sins. And because of that, we receive the magnificent gifts that we're like sons. Just like Barzillai did. He did magnificent. But his son, who didn't really do anything, received all the blessings of the kingdom of Jerusalem. Which illustrates when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he invites us, he said, I would that none should perish. All would come to have eternal life. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, Jesus said. And he said, if you accept me as your personal Savior, you'll be like Chinaham. You get the blessing of the kingdom. Folks, today, we're like Chinaham. We really haven't done anything to prove ourselves. In fact is, we're sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, come on with me. You are accepted in the Beloved if you accept me as your personal Savior. I hope today you do that today. I hope your fathers will stand a little taller today and stand a little straighter today and smile a little bigger today and think a little better today as a father. And you realize that what you do, your children will enjoy. And as Jesus accepted us in the Beloved, we have access to the throne of God. And we have access to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for a day that we can think of you and love you. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And you've done great and marvelous things. Lord, I pray today that there be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day that they accept you as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you, as the invitation came to David to Barzillai, and he says, I'd like my son to go in my stead. How about you today as the invitation is given to you? I would like to receive that as my Savior. I'd like to receive Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But today is the day I want to receive Christ as my personal Savior. I want to accept Him. My friend, God loves you. And He gave His only begotten Son for you if you only ask Him to come in your heart. Christian friend now.
Father, I pray now as we have this time of invitation, there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, that they'd say, that's me. I'm willing to go with the King. I'm willing to go with the King. Jim had a say, I'm willing to go. And he went. He could have stayed home, took care of his daddy, but he says, no, I'll go with the King. And because of that, he was rewarded greatly. I pray that we would be willing to go with the King today. In Jesus' name. Everybody, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. You're here today. You're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. But you'd like to know that today. Why don't you come forward and meet me up front here and say, preacher, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. You come right now. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Hey, just come on. Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. I want to do that. Why don't you come at this time? You're today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to know that. Why don't you come? Preacher, today I want to follow Lord Jesus Christ in the believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Already got three of our children are going to get baptized. You'd like to get along baptized with them? Be great. Wonderful thing. Be part of the family of God. Amen. You're today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to be part of. It's a soul-winning station. We want to be part of a church like this. Why did you come at this time? Thank you. You may be seated. In a moment, we're going to have a baptistry here. For some of you not to know much about baptism, let me just tell you a little bit. First of all, baptism does not save you. Some people say that baptism washes away your sins. Baptism is like a person putting on a uniform. Some of you ladies and some of you gentlemen joined the military. Before you put that uniform on, they had you raise your right hand. How many remember that? And you solemnly swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, right? You didn't have a uniform on. By the way, you were already in the military right then. You signed your name, you were in the military. Once you gave that oath, you're in the military, okay? Then they gave you the uniform. And that's what baptism is. Baptism, this, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is an inward step of your life that you receive Christ, and Jesus Christ said He'll live there forever and ever.
You can go to heaven without being baptized. I heard one man said, yeah, you can go to heaven dry cleaned, amen. But the Bible does teach us that we are to follow Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. Went down in the water, up out of the water, and what that illustrates, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when you go down in the water, the children today are saying to you, without even saying a word, they said, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried. Then we bring them out of the water, illustrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you see this. Maybe a couple more minutes. Let's take a psalm book. I think it's page number 107. So little time, the harvest will be over, our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope you'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear one from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I fail to strictly warn? The Spirit moved, oh, had I plead for Jesus, the grain is fallen, lost one not reborn. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear one from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. The harvest white, the reaper's few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear one from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. I don't know if they're boycotting or what up there. All right, fourth stanza. A day of pleasure or a feast of friendship, a house or car or garments fair or fame will be trash when souls are brought to heaven. And then how sad to face the slacker's blame. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear one from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How are we doing up there? Thank you.
All right, this is Aiden Webster. Aiden, have you asked Jesus in your heart?
Yes.
If you died today, where would you go?
Heaven.
On that public profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Stand this way. Plug your nose. Ready? Sparing the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of resurrection.
Yeah!
This is Dr. Trina. Katrina, if you asked Jesus in your heart,
yes.
If you die today, where would you go?
Heaven.
Upon that public profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Bearing the likeness of his death, raise blood. All right, this is Jesse.
Amen.
We'll do it quick, though, okay? Jesse, if you ask Jesus in your heart,
yes.
If you died today, where would you go? Upon that public profession of faith, I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bearing the likeness of his death, raise the likeness of his death.
We have
done as the Lord has commanded,
that
there's still much room.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Thank you. Christ the Savior and follow Lord and believe baptized. I heard a bunch of them tonight going to get baptized. That's exciting. Amen. Got a whole bunch of kids. We would not have room for all the people if we had a junior church over here also with you. So thank God. Thank God for our church. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you, dads. And may God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for these little souls today that have been willing to show everybody that they have given their heart to Jesus. Lord God, protect them. Be their mommies and daddies, Lord, as they raise them up to serve you. Lord, please protect them. Thank you for all you've given to us. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.